I'm here today with Zen Gardner on this very special broadcast of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Zen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Benny. Thanks for having me.
Now, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, on my mind and heart, I think the what's front and center is just how freaking surreal the whole situation is in the world today. It's just, it's accelerating, it's over the top, and my advice to people of late is disengage, like, or you'll go down with it. Like, it's gone toxic, and so mad, and absolutely nothing makes sense, you know, from the barrage of BS on the Zimmerman thing, which I just checked the news before we talked and before we got online here, and it's going crazy, all the different riots that yeah, finally it's, getting it, to happen.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention that, Zen, because last night I was up and I believe I published a statistic on my Facebook that said in the 360-odd days, let me see if I can actually find it. In the days since Trayvon Martin was shot by Zimmerman, over 10,000 black people have been shot by other black people and killed. Here we are. In the 513 days between Trayvon dying and today's verdict, 11,106 African-Americans have been murdered by other African-Americans. And this enormous argument ensues, okay? I've been accused of being racist. This is just putting a statistic out there. The white man puts out a statistic. Oh, that's racist. And what I found very interesting is that some of these people who are commenting on this thread, I think there's like 111 comments on it now, are so emotional about it, really, really angry. And I made the point, have you ever heard of Planned Parenthood? And they're like, yeah, yeah, I've heard of Planned Parenthood. Did you know it used to be called the American Eugenics Society? And they're like, no, I didn't know that. Did you know that Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, has admitted in her own words that she's trying to exterminate black people using Planned Parenthood in order to abort all their babies? They're like, no, I didn't know that. Did you know that 80 million of them have been exterminated? And they're like, no, I didn't know that. So what's more offensive to you? One black kid being shot and murdered, or 80 million black kids, or more to the point, and being highly publicized, and what, and or is 80 million black children being killed and covered up? Is that more offensive?
Yeah.
Let's put things into perspective, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's Orwellian. It's like the hoarders of money who, we were walking the streets. We moved into a third world country recently. It's been a fantastic change. Wanted to get out of the gulag before the final rows of
razor wire
went up.
You're saying you moved into a third world country. I was like, did you come back to the States, did you?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be one hellhole, I'm telling you. And everybody's seeing it now. It's like there's no repair in a decayed building, man. Things got to come down. But we were walking the streets in a very humble country we're in now with beautiful people, and I can talk freely about these issues that are so important and people want to know more. They don't say, how is that not true? They say, how is that true? And they want to hear more. The exact opposite of the callous, cauterized American mind. I mean, most people are not worth even trying anymore. They've had so many chances. They're not going to hear people anymore. Anyway, that's more or less how I'm feeling about the state of so-called America. But we're talking about in countries like this, you could take one billionaire, we'll say he's a multi-billionaire, he could change a whole country overnight just by sharing a little piece of his fortune. You know, royal families could feed and house the world in overnight, but they won't. We live in a world that is upside down. It is nightmarish. It's sort of like What a Wonderful Life. Remember when the angel let him see the world? What was his name?
Don't you mean the Christmas Carol?
No, it's called What a Wonderful Life. It's Who's that famous actor? Everybody always imitates. Anyway, the angel, he says, I wish I did. You know, he got all upset. His bank fell apart. He said, I wish I never lived. And the angel takes him around town. If he never lived, this is what your town would have looked like. And, you know, everything's brothels and fighting and nastiness. And, you know, there's no love. There's no caring for people. And that's the world we're in today. It's gone. It's mad. It's bizarro. Yet what the Zimmerman stuff, what really upsets me, besides the fact that it's clearly trying to get more, you know, division and racial strife stirred up, and there looks like they're succeeding now finally. They've been working hard at it. But it's a distraction. The news is meaningless. It is pointless. Same with Snowden. It is old news. It's rehash. It's giving people the idea that news has value when it has no value. You know what I mean? That people are getting this mind mush that only suspends their animation that much longer. They can't react to things. They can't think clearly, and they don't even want to think clearly. They're caught in this weird, weird place, and that's, you know, it could be so different, and that's what we all sense. People who have woken up and have a sense of empathy and care for other people on this planet look around and go, what is this place? It nothing makes sense. And it's completely backwards. Yet people are forced to sort of take it on board and, oh, well, make the best of it. No, you don't make the best of it. We need a complete and utter, you know, revolution of proportions that the world has never seen. And also to kind of admit that when things are gone too far, to get the hell out of the way. That's what I'm telling people. If you're going to prepare, you better be where you're supposed to be, because this thing is coming down hard and it's coming down soon. And that's not pessimism. That's just plain realism. And people need to think a little more realistically in the face of this onslaught of complete insanity.
You know, there's a point in there, because yeah. I feel very, very upset a lot of the time when mm-hmm. I hear that people are accusing me of being negative when I'm just talking about reality. Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me that, look, just because you're in denial of reality doesn't mean mm-hmm. I'm negative. It means that exactly. You're in denial.
Exactly. Like the David Icke always says, you know, don't tell me I'm negative. This information is the truth, and the truth is empowering. Whether it sounds negative or not, it's reality. And if you don't deal with it and take it on board, you're going over a cliff like another lemming. And that's the reality we're living in, and it has to be said.
Can I interject something here? Because you're talking about going over the cliff by a lemming. You know how that myth came about? A bunch of researchers were trying to study lemmings, and they tried to herd them, and they chased them off a cliff. And so when they went back, they tried to alleviate their guilt of killing these poor creatures by saying they followed each other off the cliff. They didn't mention to everybody that we chased them off the cliff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That sounds so true. I can see that. That's too much.
I love science.
How many things like that are we dealing with in our so-called educational upbringing?
I think what was his name? Jordan Maxwell said it best. Nothing is what you think it is. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And if things could be different, they would be. But they don't want them different. They want things just as they are. The education system the way it is. They want the government the way it is. They want people's living conditions the way they are. It's like that, you know, Mayor Amschel Rothschild's wife said before she died, if my sons didn't want wars in the world, there wouldn't be any. You've heard that quote before?
No.
Yeah, his wife said that before she died. You Google that. It's all over the place. No, don't Google it. Start page it or somebody, even though they're all the same. But... they admit it that we are in this degraded state by design, and people fighting for the designers to change it is like, you know, working in a psych ward, you know, and asking the nurse to give you, you know, change your medication, you know, yeah, she'll change it to another medication. It's like, it's anyway, that's what's on the tip of my brain right now, the surreal nature of this whole thing.
I do it's completely sad. Agree with you on it's I don't know, have you ever wondered how everything's going, like how everything is sort of the opposite of what it says it is? So a government says to you, we're here to protect you. No, you're not, you're here to attack me and destroy me and try and exterminate me. The medical system says we're here to heal you. No, you're actually here to implant copious quantities of cancer and disease and to drain my bank accounts and kill me.
There should be an app for that, you know, on your iPhone. Wait a minute, I've got a translator here. You know, let me translate the government speak. Oh no, I see what you're saying. Reverses everything.
Like, we're having this situation in New Zealand now, Zen, where the Prime Minister John Key, who's a former Federal Reserve banker, former head of derivative trading for Merrill Lynch, comes out and says that, we've got this GCSB bill, you know, like the NSA of New Zealand, and if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about. And that translates as, I want to get rid of all your privacy, but retain my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that mentality is exactly what keeps Americans cemented in their shoes. That, well, why not bring it on? Because I got nothing to hide, and this is only going to get people who have something to hide. I've got old friends. They work on Wall Street. They're smart guys and all this stuff, and they go, what's the big deal? I mean, they've been funneled into this thing. I call it funnel vision, but these people, they've been funneled into this way of thinking and cannot snap out of it for the life of them. It's shocking. But you're exactly right. That's how they're programmed.
This is the difficulty as well, because what were we talking about? You said that you listened to the show yesterday with Max, I was just watching a small little snippet of it, and it was about programming, getting frustrated at these people who told me to go get a job, and I just said, look, mate, you know, you're a slave. You know, you go to your slave job for 40 hours a week. You go home to your slave block with your slave beer and your slave woman, and you watch your slave boob tube, and then you go back to your slave job. And Max was he said something very important there, and he said, you know, you can't get frustrated with these people because they're just programmed. Mm-hmm. And then I said, if you are programmed, then surely you can be deprogrammed.
Exactly right.
How can we do that? How can we do that?
It's funny. I was on David Icke's website today, and he was saying the best way. He's got a little poster that says, shows a big stack of books, and he says, how to deprogram yourself. You know, it's all about information. It's all about, you know, getting it in there to unravel, you know, the crap that's been intertwined with semi-truths, you know, half-baked ideas, and, you know, all this manipulative language. Information is liberating. It's that simple. People need it now. If it wasn't for the internet, I don't know what would have happened at this point in history. But because we have the internet, this is happening at this accelerating pace, this awakening. I think it's the most thrilling time to be alive yet on the planet, even though we're up against some pretty nasty stuff. What is going on spiritually, this awakening, is just absolutely marvelous. And we can't even, I don't think people could calculate what's happening, you know, take a cray computer kind of a deal to follow it. But you can do it by information. You can do it by love. You can do it by getting free. Number one thing that I like to share with people is taking action. You've got to go with your heart. You've got to take steps towards what you feel either needs to be done or you need to do, or actions that will, you know, like whether it's your eating habits or whether it's where you live or whether it's the friends you keep or sharing more information or standing up for the truth instead of cowering. As people do that and then follow on, the empowerment is amazing. And it'll lead you all kinds of places. And I like to talk about synchronicity, because there's these wonderful dynamics that truth and consciousness bring, that it activates something in the, you know, in the next levels of existence that comes to your assistance. It's always there, and we're always part of it. But as people do that and take steps in those directions, it just unfolds your life. Look at you, how you got to what you're doing, or me, how I got to what I'm doing, or anybody who's activated. You feel it every day. Like, you're compelled to put those videos together. You're compelled to find the next interview. You're compelled to get out your bullhorn and go after these bastards who jailed your friend. And you know, right? We can't help it.
Well, I think I could help it if I didn't have so much empathy. You know? It hurts me to see my friends go to jail. Like, I actually feel pain because I know what it's like to be locked in the cells. You know, I got busted for selling weed when I was in university. Who didn't? And it just, that pain that I felt then is still very much at the forefront in my mind. That fear that I had, the trauma of being locked away in the cells, like it really destroyed my life in a matter of hours, and completely disillusioned me, because up till that point I thought that police were honest. Police and honesty. It's like religion and spirituality, police and honesty. They're two mutually exclusive concepts, right?
Oh my God. I trust the priest. I just love how he drives my face into his crotch every time he hugs me.
Yeah.
God. You know. Oh, it's the truth. But, you know, wake up calls come in all kinds of size and shapes and packages, and you know, whatever it took to get us where we are now, I am thankful. You know, my life's been through a lot of weird bumps and everything, like everybody, but arriving at an awakened state, I don't care what it took. And unfortunately, the people who are refusing it right now, like most Americans, are going to get the ultimate wake-up call, and they're going to be on the defensive, they're not ready for it, and it's going to be rough. But that's what happens to giant empires and civilizations. History tells you the same story over and over, but does anybody pay attention? No. But when it's right in your face like this, it's a pretty sad sight to behold, knowing especially your own loved ones are suffering for it. That is, people just don't want to wake up to what's really going on. It means change. You know, it's a funny thing. I was thinking today about this, and the whole idea how people are trapped in fear, how they can't make decisions anymore. They're immobilized, and they're really holding themselves prisoner. They're holding themselves hostage. That, you know, they can't see the road ahead, and so they hold on to the familiar around them in a misguided sense of safety and security. It was that whole concept of being trapped in fear. It applies to everybody, the awakened community at every level, myself, anybody. When you were afraid to make a move, we're afraid to commit, we're afraid to anything. We get in that bubble. Fear is a very subtle thing. It's not always so obvious. It immobilizes you, and that's how you know you've got a problem. That's why constant change, I think, is the mark of being awake. Personally, my wife and I have moved, I don't know, probably 30, 40, 50 times in our lives. We just like to keep moving, and each time is like dying. You know, you got to give up junk. You have to change environments. You have to adjust. Maybe have to learn a new language. But it's good. It just keeps you alive. And for whatever reason, the universe has led us to do that. And when people have trouble changing, you know, like they say, when you're through changing, you're through. It really applies, especially now. We're in an accelerated state of change of all times. An accelerated stage. You know, we're headed towards this thing they call the singularity and all this kind of stuff, which has varying definitions. But the fact is, our information that we have available and knowledge is accelerating at such a rate. they're trying to use it for a transhuman model, saying that we're reaching a place where, you know, where artificial intelligence will be able to run stuff like Skynet. But the real early definition of it was when things reach such an accelerated state of knowledge and awareness that humanity will pass into a I'm catching your cold. Humanity will pass into a state of awareness and
I find that funny that you're catching my cold. The virus must have come through the internet.
Exactly.
But hey, wait, do you know what you call a virus that came around in the 70s? A retrovirus.
Not bad.
Do you know what you call an abominable snowman that works for the mafia? What? A console yeti.
I should have come armed with some good jokes. I can't remember jokes. I have to be in a certain frame of mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just I was talking to my missus the other day, and I was like, you know what? I come up with so many lame jokes every day. Like, she really hates it because I'm always coming at her with a new incredibly lame pun. And I was just thinking, you know those joke books, you know, 1001 jokes or something like that.
Yeah,
it's just
a
whole list of these incredibly lame jokes with one or two gems in there, kind of thing. The Vinnie Eastwood lame joke book. Oh yeah.
I'm the same way. Language is my playground. And when you get words that sound like things or they have a certain rhythm, I'll bust into a song I'll come up with a crazy pun just like you, drive my wife crazy. It's fun. Like you say, if we can't have fun, man, we're toast.
Yeah. And I was just talking to my friend Penny Bright the other day, and she's like a hardcore activist woman. Just love her. She's always going for – she goes for the throat, you know. And she calls herself Her Worship because she's running for mayor. She's running for mayor, and you call the mayor Your Worship. And so she calls herself Her Worship. And I was having a conversation with one of her friends the other day, Grace Hayden.
New twist on battle axe.
Exactly. And I was having a conversation with one of her friends the other day called Grace Hayden. She's a 15-year police prosecuting sergeant. Now she's kind of like a private investigator / activist, a lovely woman. And she says, you know, I don't think the calling herself Her Worship goes down with a lot of people. And I said, that's not true. Warships do go down with a lot of people.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. That's so true. Well, that's got a lot of meanings.
Yeah.
Oh, what a riot. What a riot.
Oh, yeah, man. It was just we all just cracked up at that, and it was just...
That's hilarious.
And I was thinking about this. It actually really is a talent and a skill to turn a normal, serious conversation into something that's actually quite clever, witty, and hilarious. And... Yeah. Indeed, it is something that is absolutely required nowadays because the quantity of things that people are reading through and talking about are not very pleasant, and it becomes difficult for people to maintain any sense of balance in their life, because you have a look at other radio show hosts, and as far as I know, I'm the only one who predominantly uses humor. You know, you think about Alex Jones, there's a little bit of humor in there sometimes, but most of the time it's I have the documents and
anger.
You know, my head just gets so full of the New World Order and the scumbaggery. I just go off on a tangent. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I said I would take your calls, you know. Which I love, for what it is, but
it's like a class in anger mismanagement.
Yeah.
Oh God! Oh, well, look at the mainstream. They don't. How much humor do you ever see? I mean, I don't watch the crap anymore. But anything mainstream, there's no humor in it. And if it is, it's some staged line that's got some, you know, cutesy thing that glorifies the announcer or something, but no spontaneity. They can't afford to have it. Truth might get in, you know? Mm. They can't have it.
That's right. And I think the last time I saw something on mainstream news in New Zealand that was a impromptu joke was back in 2009. Where the news announcer says, and after the news program today, there will be a program called British Sex, and they cut back to the student and goes, I didn't know they had any.
How rare! Yeah. It's just way too rare.
Well, and this is the thing: you got to laugh all day, every day, and I wonder. I actually should study this. Because I don't normally study things. I normally just talk to people, right? But I actually really should study rather intensely what the effect of laughter is on the body, on the mind, on your sanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's considered medicine in a lot of the, you know, shamanic writings, old spiritual writings. It's considered medicine. It actually heals. They'll use, that's why, remember that clown, the story, Robin Williams did a story on the clown
Patch
doctor.
Adams. Patch Adams.
Yeah, fabulous story. Mm. You know, and it's just driven by love and compassion and really wanting to get through to people and willing to just be anything in order to accomplish his job. That's love, you know. That's real love.
Am I the Patch Adams of talk radio?
Patch him in, John. He's ready to go.
I love the bit in that movie where they have a gynecologist conference, and so there's the opening doorway into this conference, and Patch has had these two women's legs kind of made on opposite sides of the doorway, you know, open and stirrups, and he's like welcoming them all into the conference, and he goes, "If you think it's hot out here, woo!"
That's really clever.
This is the thing. Humor is actually clever. And I recall what's his name? Dr. Bill Deagle on Genesis Network. He told me that there are two career choices for which you have to be extremely intelligent. Like the two most intelligent people have these two different careers. One being theoretical physicists and the other being comedians.
Mm-hmm. Stand up. Mm. Mm-hmm. And look at the genius of Bill Hicks or George Carlin. I mean, and it's brilliant, beyond brilliant. Humor and laughter is a triumphant thing. It surpasses all the mundane bullshit that passes as information in communication. You know, that's why people, go to a party and get high and just break out in laughter and just let go, because they're all contained all day long. You know, they're muffled, they're, you know, over scheduled, they're over everything, and they just want to let go. Look at the British. My first wife is English, and I lived in England for a while, and the British humor is amazing. But the reason they're such good actors is because they're so suppressed socially. And what they let it out via drama and humor, and you know their wry humor is just charged with you know, all kinds of innuendo and all kinds of stuff. It's brilliant stuff. And the Americans can't even get most of it. To them, it's not, there's not enough slapstick or idiocy, you know. But anyway, just a thought on that.
Well, that's true, and also this brings me to another point. Americans becoming anti-American. It's like. There's little identification with the American spirit, the American culture, patriotism anymore, because it's all become corrupted. And I was wondering what your perspective was on that, because you definitely don't speak highly of modern American life and the lifestyle. And I want to know why is that, and secondly, what exactly is it that you think about America and Americans today?
Interesting. The patriotism and nationalism and this kind of stuff is always fascinating to take apart. The more you learn about American history, its Masonic roots, the way it was brought into being and manipulated, your boyish ideals of this super freedom, bastion of freedom, born out of this desire for freedom from King George and all this stuff, it gets really nastily jaded, because while those emotions appeal and there's maybe something to it, America's founding is a pretty sad story in many ways. People want to believe the red, white, and blue, you know, Paul Revere thing, who was also a Freemason, and the Tea Party guys who were Freemasons, and the whole inception of the place, when you go back to the European roots and you study it, you realize this place was planned ahead of time. And, you know, the same old banksters, same old manipulators, same old Illuminati type creeps, you know, social engineers, they had this whole thing pre-designed ahead of time. And I personally kind of think it maybe got out of hand a bit, because people actually did get free and their plan got a little bit, you know, derailed for a bit, but they got back on top of it with the Fed and all kinds of other machinations. But I don't have, you know, I don't have any red, white, and blue blood in me. I don't believe in patriotism. There's a lot of beautiful Americans. There is this thriving sense of ingenuity and motivation that Americans have displayed. But at the same time, you've got the corporate greed built in there. You've got the decimation of the Native Americans and the blacks. You've got the decimation of the natural beauty of the country. And, you know, I don't blame that on all the people. That certainly is more the controllers, these people that are motivated by their own hellish, guides, from wherever they come. But it's not this red, white, and blue Statue of Liberty. I mean, that's just another statue of ISIS. It goes right back to Babylon. If you go through I'm sure you've seen all the pictures of how D.C. was, Washington, D.C. was built, and all the imagery in it, and it's got all these goddesses all over the temples. It's the same old stuff. So that's right from the beginning. So this thing was planned. What's happened to Americans now is, I mean, it's pitiful. Have you been there, Vinny? You've been to the States?
When I was 14, let me explain something. I live in New Zealand, okay? It's relatively right. pristine, okay? I'd never seen smog before. Mm. And then when we're coming in to land at LAX, I saw this thing for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's your opening impression of the United States. Disgusting, polluted wasteland full of Fuddruckers restaurants and Monterey Jack cheese.
Yeah. It is, like they use that, the modern Babylon, and it is, it's infected the world. It's been used as a base. It's obviously the military base of the, the world engineers. I think they're going to take it down, just like they're going to take down Israel deliberately as part of this, self-immolation in order to bring about what they hope to have as their new world order, crap campaign.
You know what it appears. You know what it occurs to me. It's like satanic sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much. They don't mind sacrificing their own. I wrote a article recently. I don't know if you looked at some of the recent stuff, but it's, would 9/11 truth bring America down? Be the downfall of America? How what a perfect way to cause America to have a complete implosion. But to, let's say, take the 9/11 issue and try it in the world court, and it comes out what really happened, and Americans would just be, what did they say, gobsmacked in South Africa? They would just be, they would just turn them topsy-turvy. The rest of the world would rise up in such indignation, looking for revenge in any possible way, to realize this whole war on terror is a complete scam and fraud, and how many millions of people have been sacrificed in the process. Now, whether that actually happens on the political plane or not, that is more or less what the spiritual takedown is going to be like as these things implode. The idea of America has to be killed. The idea of a freedom, a free bastion, what they think is a free bastion, but America, if you do anything, has more regulations than any country, hands down, whether it be building a house, getting a license, doing anything. It is over the top regulated. It is anything but free. They keep the illusion of freedom, and the people, with their fireworks and their football games and beer drinking and blah, blah, blah. But I got 6 cars and I don't own any of them, is the case in some of these neighborhoods. They're so freaking in debt. There's no way out. But the illusion is still there. You got the big cars and you got the big cities and you've got the glam of Hollywood and the high finance buildings and all this kind of stuff, and it's a complete lie. It's an illusion, and it's going to come down so hard the whole world's going to be in awe. It's going to be one hell of a come down, and it's already imploded. I heard an interesting thing Ike said once. He said the state of the world is like when you see a building being demolished by demolition. If there's a second when they blow up the whole core and all the supporting columns and the foundation, and it stays, hangs there for a second, and then it just falls, free fall. Well, we're in the second, these last few years, we're in the second of when that suspended thing, when there's no core, and it's just going to fall straight down. And not just the U.S., that supports the infrastructure of, it's connected to the whole world.
You know, something occurred to me while you were saying this, and I'd like to interject this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
That's all right.
You know when people wake up to the fact that 9/11 is an inside job, or wake up to the fact that the vaccines aren't there to help you, or wake up to the fact that the government are a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery who are hatching schemes to exterminate you and lie to you about everything, right? You get really depressed, or really angry, or a combination of both. Now, at the moment, it's happening on an individual basis. You know, one person will get depressed and angry, and another, and another, and another. Imagine the chaos of everybody, the whole world, suddenly being depressed and angry. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly the dynamic I'm talking about. And it's, in one way or another, it's going to come to pass. I don't know, you know, everybody talks about it, the next false flag, and are they going to nuke an American city or some wild thing to get everybody's eyes off of all this, all these scams and lies and the complete, you know, because it's becoming obvious to even Americans that this is completely wrong. And, you know, we've been taken over. This beautiful article today, actually, by Paul Craig Roberts about that, I put up on my site that it's from Global Research, but it says the coup has happened. It's done, you know, and people need to admit it. It's been taken over and it's done with. And that's the case. It's a done deal. If people have to see it for what it really is. And that's part of this wake up you're talking about. But when it hits the lower levels of people who haven't really transcended this, you know, this hypnotic mindset, when it reaches the next level, like you're saying, it's going to go off like methane in the ocean floor. It's going to just blow and cause some serious freaking damage and, you know, chemical reactions and all kinds of stuff. And I don't think like that's going to happen. It has to, because it's the truth. You know, but now I'll be okay, fine. We can take it to the next level and say, okay, when you die, you'll find all this out. Maybe that's going to happen. It's going to be a nuclear war. Everybody's going to pass through and find out on the other side. I don't know, but it's going to happen because it's there. It's already happened. That's the point. People are waiting for something to do, and it happened already. It's done. It's like World War III is here. The definition of a world war is when, I forget how many countries are involved, but you know, a certain amount of countries are involved in the war. Well, there's gobs of countries that have been involved in this war since it started with Afghanistan, went to Iraq. We're in a world war. It's already happening. We don't have to be at war with China and Russia to make it World War III. We're in the middle of it. You know, this is an open-ended war against terror, which you can't defeat. It's like saying it's a war against, you know, oxygen or something, or war against, you know, termites. I don't know what.
But it, you know, or it's a war against stupidity.
Yeah. You know, they actually had, there was a war on, what was the one that LBJ did?
A war on morons.
What was the one that LBJ did in the States? It was war on poverty, I think it was. He had for years. And then, what's his name? Jimmy Carter, he put into place this thing on the alternative energy research.
And the war on foreign oil.
But it's that thing that Carter made. It's been the behemoth sucking, you know, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars to research on alternative energy. They come up with nothing. It's just another boondoggle to soak up, you know, taxpayers' money and give government, you know, people government employment, which now is about 40% of the country. And if you add the spouse to each family, it's something like 40-45% of the country is working for the government. How's that?
Well, and now, incidentally, more people in the United States are on food stamps than people who are employed.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. It's off the charts. You see, this lady got busted the other day. Well, it was a guy that a SWAT team was sent by the what's the name of the outfit? Huh? Department of Education sent a SWAT team to a house of this man and his son lived in, broke in, threw the guy in the car, put the kids in the back room, ransacked the house. The woman they were looking for wasn't there, and the charges were she hadn't paid her student loan. Now, if that isn't a little sign of the times, I don't know what is. And that stuff's in the news every day now. That's kind of the point of what I'm saying. You've got your daily insanities, going to be your daily 10 insanities. It's like, I don't even want to look at it. It's Snowden stuff, Zimmerman stuff, it's all distraction. It really doesn't have much, because it tends to get people thinking towards a reformation of what we've already got. We need this thing to come down, and people need to wake the hell up and have a complete change of paradigm. And whatever helps that along, the better, you know, and as peacefully as possible. But I can't see that anymore either. People are so far gone insane. God knows how they're going to act in the midst of all this. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
No.
And you know what's funny is I was just thinking about this. If you got people who are willing to go and ransack a person's house for not paying their student loan, you better make sure those people are frickin' morons, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, it's come out, and in fact it's been known about for quite some time, that the police deliberately recruit people of below average intelligence, deliberately recruit police with low levels of morality and empathy, deliberately employ people who have psychopathic, cruel tendencies, deliberately employ people who are liars. And then you just think about this. It's like, oh my God, the police invariably, one way or the other, will eventually become a whole bunch of moronic, psychopathic, cruel liars. Oh my God.
Cranked on drugs.
That they stole from the people that they're busting, of course.
Yeah. You know, if you Google the police and steroid abuse, you're going to find some really interesting information. Somebody on my website sent me an article the other day, and it's just the behavior of these guys really has the hallmark of steroid abuse. When they go into these tirades, you know, where they're stamping on people's heads and they're just gone crazy. Like they're
tackling pregnant women to the ground in broad daylight for no reason. Yeah. They're tipping people out of their wheelchairs in full view of the public.
They shot a guy, a security guard, who was reading a book in his car, and they shot him through the window.
They opened up on a crowd on one person and shot 80 bullets in a crowded street with no thought of bullet tracking and that kind of thing. Actually, emptied the clips out of their Glocks and then reloaded and fired again.
That's what I'm talking about. It's insane. It's insane. People need to really think about where they're living, what they're doing. Are they prepared? And, you know, I'm all about screaming from the rooftops about all this stuff, but people need to really have a little talk with their family and decide, you know, are we living where we should be living? This is going to happen. It's already happening. Do you want to be here? Do you not? Not everybody can leave the country. I know that. I was led to do it. It's, for me, it's part of following synchronicity, following my heart, following what I learn and what I believe to be true. If everybody would do that, end of problem. End of problems on the world. Everything would be, you know, would be solved if people would just live by the heart and actually do it, not just talk about it. But unfortunately, the fear vibe is really, really strong. Like that, what I was saying earlier, it's something that has to be overcome, almost like punching your way out of a bag. You have to take daily efforts. You know what a fight it is to get your stuff together for a show or to get, you know, find the information from an article or what was that thing I found out or how do I do this? I mean, I bust my horns every day. I'm a one-horse operation. Well, my dear wife helps me. But, you know, like you were saying yesterday, Max Egan and his squad. Well, no, it's Max. He does it by himself. You know, I mean, I have a fantastic web guy, but he's, you know, he's just doing the mechanical stuff, but he's got great ideas, but it's
what's interesting?
Single people like us.
Can I explain something, I mean, to the audience listening? You don't realize how powerful or capable you are. So when you see people like myself, Zen, Max, David Icke, whatever, and you think, oh, we've got a whole team of people behind us. No, it's just us. We're just people who've realized how powerful and capable we are. That's why we accomplish so much, so that it appears that there's 10,000 people working at the same time. That's how powerful you can be, too. If only you would stop doubting yourself. If only you would stop saying, oh, I need help to begin. If only you would stop saying, oh, I need somebody else's approval or somebody else's motivation or somebody else's say-so before I start going off and doing this. If only I didn't have my slave job. If only. And here's the thing. Stop making excuses. You can be precisely as powerful as we all are. You know why we've become this influential? You know why we accomplished this much work? Is because we stopped making excuses too.
Yeah, right on. Right on, brother. And everybody has the exact same motor. We all got the same capability. It's really putting it in action. And I mean, I live to try to inspire people to just do it, take the next step. Some amazing people that I've got, wonderful people who visit my site and terrific conversations, really sharp folks. And I'm so thankful for them. And yeah, teach me so much. And there's just a great vibe going on. But, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? They contribute, and they're all starting from where they are. But some of them, you know what? I said, hey, why don't you write an article about that? Put this together. Now they got blogs. I got a guy, there's Chautauqua, who you'll see stuff if you go to my site. He's a vet who's been through God knows amazing stuff in his life, but just an amazing person. Pete Crackers, if you haven't had him yet, I really hope you'll get him on your show. I'll write you a note about it. But he goes by Mr. Pete Crackers on YouTube. Man of heart of gold. It tells it like it is. He's just having this amazing reception because what's the difference? What are we doing? We're telling the truth. That's all. We're telling the truth. We're expressing love by telling the truth. You know, I started off, I remember I was posting on a little health website, and I would be zapped when I had 35 people come. They said, wow, 35 people came and read that article. That's amazing. And I started just by sending stuff out to friends I was passionate about. Look at this. Did you see this? What about this? What do you think of this? And it just took off little at a time. And that's what's happened. I'm seeing it happen with people on my website. They're starting their own blogs. Fantastic folks. They're getting responses. It's traction. People need to get that traction, whatever it takes. And sometimes it's getting rid of crap, you know, physical crap in your life. Sometimes it's moving. Sometimes it's changing the people with. One thing at a time. That's all we can do. But I share your passion, man.
Well, and can I ask, the thing that made me passionate is essentially suffering, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what motivated me because I to have such empathy for people because I know how they feel because I've suffered. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, did that happen to you or how did you actually wake up and get involved and start just going, you know what, I'm going to stop making excuses, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do such and such and blah, blah, blah. Or has it always been that way for you?
Well, wow, that's a big question. I mean, well, not really in some, but I've had what I consider five major changes in my life where I actually had to completely turn the page and start over. And each time I grew in another way. But everything didn't. And it started out when I was a hippie in college. I told you I went to Woodstock and I was part of that whole era. And and I had my first mescaline trips completely opened me up. I mean, just. And I got into mysticism, full boat. I got into all kinds of stuff. I was raised in the East Coast. I wanted to go to the West Coast, see what was going on. I went to Berkeley, and there's all these strung out kids on drugs. I'm like, what's going on here? You start seeing it's sort of like the story,
Hold that thought, because American Freedom Radio is now contacting us, and we can actually go live for the second hour. All right. We'll be right back, folks.